There's men, women, boys, and girls of old that have settled their heart on what they believe and have taught through the ages, that you and I can come together this morning and worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and truth. And so I praise the Lord for that this morning. Appreciate, again, our country. I hate to say it, I don't have a patriotic theme this morning, but I'm preaching what the Lord wants me to preach. Luke chapter 2. Of all places to go here in July of whatever day is, 6th, 7th, I don't even know what the day is, but here in July, hot and steamy and raining, we're going to preach a Christmas message. How about that? So Luke chapter 2, no, we're going to look at something this morning. It sort of does tie in, I believe, a little bit with that thought of faith of our fathers. And again, I'm glad. And listen, I believe with all my heart, church, we are, not that we're anything, but I believe we are that last line of defense for our country. Right. I thank God for our military. I really do. But listen, our greatest problem is within. There's a sin problem in our country that, yes, you know, they're not going to fix it in Washington. They're not going to fix it through government. The only thing that's going to help our country is for our country to go back to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent, right, turn from our wicked ways, and follow after the things of God. So I hope you'll help us this morning. Do pray. If you're here this morning, listen, I don't want to be mean this morning, but God's already showed me some things. I like it when God preaches to me first, and then I get to just turn around and preach to you what God gave me. Here in Luke chapter 2, most of us never read this except at Christmas, but it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. We look at Christ so much as that babe in a manger. He was born a Savior. How did he save the world? He saves because of Calvary. He came to die, which is the Lord. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, verse number 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you. Thank you again for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the good song, the good choir songs, the good fellowship. God, thank you for our country, Lord. And God, I know, God, Lord, this nation was founded, Lord, upon Christian beliefs. And God, how I believe with all my heart how instrumental you were, God, to use America to take the gospel to another step around the world. And God, I know today, God, across this land, there's still some believers this morning, God, that hold to the truth. God, I pray that you'd help each one of us this morning, God, to leave this place different than when we come. God, I pray that you'd put more boldness in us. God, give us a backbone to stand in these days. But God, there might be somebody here this morning, God, that's lost, that's never been saved. God, it's not a Baptist thing. It's not a religious thing. Lord, I know this morning it's all about a personal relationship with you. And Lord, we just ask you, God, Lord, if you would, Lord, speak to hearts this morning, we sure would thank you, Lord. And God, I just pray this morning, God, that men and women would be obedient, God, not to me, Lord, but God, to your word this morning, Lord. And God, have your way here today, and we'll thank you for it. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Before I forget, Brother Leathers was with us last week. We got one more case of Bibles if somebody would like to take care of getting that sent out. I have no idea where it's supposed to be going. Fiji. This box is going to Fiji, so I don't remember what it was. $59 to get them across the waters there. So if you want to help with that, that needs to find a home. So we'll leave that at that. But here this morning, again, Luke chapter 2, mainly thought of, again, around Christmas time, thinking about the birth of Christ here, and that's what God's dealing with here. But I want to key in this morning on verse number 14. The Bible says the angels there, the angel had spoke, told the shepherds what had taken place. And after he had spoken to those shepherds, the Bible tells us that with that angel was a heavenly host around about him. And here in verse number 14, this heavenly host cries out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And that's the thought I want to look at this morning, is that thought of goodwill toward men. Can I tell you this morning, and it's hard, Miss Karen already talked a little bit about this morning, because, you know, you never know about life. Many of us, some of you this morning, you've sat there in that doctor's office and you've got that bad news about a loved one or even yourself of maybe cancer or some other disease. And we know that death is real this morning. If you don't know death's real this morning, let me tell you that first of all. It's the point unto man wants to die. Listen, you're dying while you're sitting here this morning. You might think you're bigger than death. You might think, well, I'm not going to die today. There's no guarantee in any of that, because death is a reality. You're one heartbeat away. You're one breath away from dying. And death is a reality this morning, but I know this morning that no matter what may come and what happens, and I try to remember this, and it's not always easy, but I will tell you this morning, according to the Bible, everything that God does is right. Amen. I don't understand it all. I don't know this morning why godly people get diseases. I don't know why young people die. I don't know why babies die. I don't understand all of those things. I just know this morning, and the only hope and the only thing that keeps my mind where it needs to be in my heart is the fact that I know 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 that God makes no mistakes. And here the angels cry out here, goodwill toward men. God this morning is not against you. God this morning wants to help you. God wants to encourage you. And God wants to be that to you this morning. Take your Bibles this morning. I want you to see this. Look in James. Don't just take my word for it. Look in James with me this morning. And I'll show you what I'm looking at here in just a moment. This is just some pre-stuff. Look at James chapter 1. Thank God for the Bible. James 1 verse 16 says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Again, I know this morning I don't understand it. I know this morning it's burdensome. Sometimes you think, Lord, why? And this morning we need to realize again that God has a whole lot bigger picture than just you and I this morning. God's at work. God's got His plan, and God's doing that this morning. So I want to say this morning, again, and back over in Luke chapter 2, notice again, it is goodwill from who? It's from God. Toward who? Man. Not from man to God. Verse 14 tells us also, we see that two-way street in the relationship. The angel said, glory to God. And then he goes on to say, goodwill toward men. We as believers this morning, it is our responsibility to give glory to God. That's what He deserves this morning. He turns around and he's good to me, amen? He's better than anybody I know. It just amazes me how good God really is. So, you know, God deserves glory this morning. And that He won't accept anything else. But I want to look this morning at that thought, and I want to try to draw your mind to this thought. I thought of that thought of goodwill. There's two words in my wife's vocabulary. She's teaching the class this morning. Two of her favorite words is goodwill and some guy named Clarence. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about. What are you? And I'm getting these funny looks. My wife and daughter, they do a lot of shopping at Goodwill. I'm thankful for Goodwill. Man, I tell you, my wife and daughter, they go down there and they get some nice dresses. And man, instead of paying $60, they pay $2. I like it, amen. And then that other guy named Clarence, that's the automatic sign when we go in a store. She looks for this thing called clearance. We call it clearance. My wife's a good shopper, and you ought to watch your money. But I got to thinking about that thought of goodwill. And I've done it before. I saw some yesterday when we was out and about and driving around. Spring comes, summer comes, and everybody starts having yard sales. Some of you like going to yard sales. Man, you can find some good stuff at yard sales. Man, somebody paid $50 for this and they want a quarter for it. What a deal. But what are yard sales for? That's when people like me and you decide we got way too much junk stuff. That's the same problem Abraham had. He had him and Lot had trouble with their stuff. And we decided we're going to clean the closets out. We bought this thing, man, we had to have it, and we bought it, never used it, stuck it in the closet, and now we're going to give it away, basically. So you have a yard sale, right? You get everything spread out on the yard, put your signs up, people come, give you a little bit of money for your junk, and they're happy. When the yard sale's over, you know what a lot of people do? I'm one of these people, because if I took the time to get the junk out of the house, I don't want the junk coming back in the house. So after the yard sale's over with, and my wife is excited because she made $50 on stuff that cost us thousands. You know, that's always encouraging. What I do is I load it up, and guess where I take it to? Goodwill won't turn nothing away. You back up to their dock, chunk it out, and they give me a piece of paper, says, here, you can put that on your taxes. I say, thank you, please. But Goodwill. The Goodwill store, and again, my wife shops there, and I'm glad she does. But Goodwill's one of those places that usually gets stuff that nobody else wants. They're getting rid of their stuff is how Goodwill gets their merchandise. Right? And I'm afraid a lot of times, and this is the message this morning, I'm afraid a lot of times we take that in Luke chapter 2 where it says we're goodwill toward men. A lot of times we know that God gives us, and God don't have junk. Everything God gives us is right, because God does nothing different but right. Even though it might not look right to you, it's still right because God did it. But a lot of times we look at that thought of goodwill, and I'm afraid we want to turn around and do the same thing back to God. And God just don't want our junk. Come on, I want you to stay with me. The day and hour that we're living in, a lot of people think they can serve God any way they want to. They want to give God what they want to give Him and think God will accept it. Well, God's a God of love. God's a God of this and God's a God of that. And most of the time those statements are very true if they just put them right in the scriptural context of what the Bible really says. God is a God of love. He loved you so much that He gave you His only begotten Son. Hallelujah. But this morning, God just don't want your junk. You can't give Him your leftovers. But a lot of people want to serve God in that aspect of the goodwill attitude. I'm going to give Him what nobody else wants. I'm going to give Him my second best. Listen, when you have your yard sale or when you take stuff to the goodwill, you don't take the stuff you want to keep, do you? Come on. You take the stuff you don't want. So this morning, I want to put in your mind this morning, scripture, I'm going to show you several places this morning where God just don't accept anything. I'm glad He'll accept anybody. I'm glad this morning I serve a whosoever will God. Hey, I'm glad this morning I don't care what color you are or what nationality you are or what your first name is or what your last name is or how much money you got in the bank or how much money you ain't got in the bank. I'm glad this morning that God will take you just like you are. But boy, I'm glad that God just don't leave me like He took me. God's working in my life. God's doing some work in your life. And this morning, God deserves some things. He desires some things this morning. And God don't want and God will not take second best. And I want to show it to you this morning. Take your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis. Let me give you the first account of showing you that God will not just accept anything. Most people today think, well, I just go to church. That's good enough. That ain't what God wants. Look at Genesis chapter 4 this morning. The first instance of God not taking just anything. I'm going to show you about four places real quickly this morning where God won't just take anything. Look at Genesis chapter 4. We know the story here of Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4 verse 1 says, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But notice verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect, And notice what happens. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Can you believe that your God would not take what Cain wanted to give? Hey, I'm giving it to God. Surely God wants it. Goodwill takes it. Surely God will take that. But we see here this morning that God did not take what Cain brought to offer. He accepted the offering of Abel, but he did not take that of Cain. So I want you to understand this morning, scripturally this morning, the same God here that created the heavens and the earth, the same God here that Cain and Abel came offering sacrifice to, God accepted one and rejected the other. And this morning, you and I'm glad this morning we don't have to sacrifice for salvation. I'm glad this morning we don't have to, well, can you imagine the mess that would be? But I'm thankful for grace, thankful for the cross. But this morning, we still are at work in the body of Christ. And this morning, not everything that we do that we say is for God, God says, I'll take that. Because God doesn't do that. God's very narrow. So we see here this morning that God did not accept it. And I'm afraid, again, many times we act like it's that goodwill attitude. Well, I'm doing it out of my heart. Wrong. You don't know your heart. The Bible tells us that your heart's desperately wicked. He says, who can know it? And as much as we think we're doing something out of the right heart, what is, you know, many times I have to check up on that. Why am I doing the things that I can do? I can run a bus route. I can preach. I can do sing in the choir. I can teach a Sunday school class. I can be faith. All these things. I come to church, preacher. But why did you come this morning? Why this morning are you sitting in the pew? I'm glad you're here. It's a great place to be, and you ought to be here. But we need to look at our motive of why and the purpose of what we're doing, because that's what God's looking at. And just because you're sitting, you didn't get a check beside your name this morning. Because God refused Cain, but he accepted Abel. Look with me this morning in Leviticus. Leviticus. Just turn over a few chapters there. Look in Leviticus. Let me give you about three other places real quickly. Leviticus chapter 10 this morning. God is not a goodwill department. It's goodwill toward men. I'm thankful God, all our blessings there in James comes from above. Leviticus chapter 10, look at verse number 1. Here's an interesting story. It says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered, notice, strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. They lit their fire unto the Lord, and God says, that's not of me. Notice what happens. Verse 2, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Oh, preacher, how could God do that? They were doing something in the church house, Brother David. They were trying to be spiritual. The big word today is religion. You can be as religious as you want to and still go to hell. Religion don't save. Jesus saves. But here, these two brothers, they're offering a fire up to God. And God says, mm-mm. And God killed both of them. He rejected it. Look in Isaiah. Just showing you that the preacher didn't make this up. Look in Isaiah chapter 1. Great question here. Isaiah chapter 1, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? This morning, would you let God examine you? That's what the psalmist said, examine me, O Lord. God says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or if he goes. It says, when you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my court? Bring no more vain oblation, incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the callings of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. Can you believe God said that? I wonder this morning if what I'm doing, if God would look at me and say, I hate him. Not him, but what I'm doing. That's what he said about this. He says, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are troubled unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear your hands, or not hear your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Can you believe God looked at Israel and said that? Can you believe this morning that God would not be happy because I'm here this morning doing my... Boy, I've made mention before, there's a camp meeting that goes back in Harmony. I guess they still have it. It started years and years back in the 1800s is when it started. And it started out really great. Boy, at one time, Oliver B. Green preached through that years and years and years and years ago. But over years, that thing has died and went to the dogs, man. And there's a guy up there, he calls himself a preacher, I don't know. But he gets up there, and every year, it just makes me sick when I tried to support, just praying God would bring revival back to our hometown. But that man get up there and says, well, we're here to do our religious duties this afternoon. How about puked? Why? Because that's all they were doing. They were going through motions. There was no God in that. It was just man doing what they thought their fulfillment to God ought to be. And that's exactly what we see here in these cases. God says, that's not of me. Let me show you another place. Look in Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6 this morning. Look in verse number 20. Verse 20 says of Jeremiah chapter 6 says, to what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, not your sacrifices sweet unto me. God said that. God, just as he did Cain and Abel, God looked and he said, that I take, that I don't. And this morning, I'm afraid across our land, today there's churches, and it could happen here, I pray that it never does, but there's churches this morning, they've got their disco lights, they got their upbeat music, they're in there having a good time in the flesh, and they're going to leave that place no better than when they came. They're not preaching the truth, and they're going to go back to the house and live like the world day after day, and nothing of it was of God. Y'all thank God for the Bible. Y'all thank God for the Holy Ghost. Y'all thank God for the Spirit of God that dwells among us. Y'all thank God there's men and women in our church teaching, and we got preachers in here that are going out preaching the truth. But people today, they feel like they're doing their religious. They feel good. It makes their flesh feel good that they've satisfied something to God. And God said, I don't want that. We treat God like he's the goodwill. We give him our second, our third, our fourth best. One more place. Look at Amos. Look at Amos chapter 5. I'm not making this up. This is what God said. Look at Amos chapter 5, verse 21. But preacher, God's a God. Brother John Spade sent me a thing. I don't recommend many people looking at it, but it was very interesting to see. Two street preachers not causing trouble, just out preaching truth. Gay pride movement came through and beat them up. Sad. Why? Because people don't want to hear truth. They want a lot of themselves and think that they're going to be okay. Listen, God's ways are yea and yea, yea and nay. God's words are true. And that's the only way we're going to get things done. Here in Amos chapter 5, look at verse 21. This is God again. He says, I hate. Can you believe your God would say that? I hate, I despise your feast days. And I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But you have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and of Chion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. God says, I hate and I despise what you're doing. You're not worshiping me. You're not giving unto me. You're just going through the motions like I'm a good wheel. But this morning, there's some things, and I won't be long. I know time's run out on me this morning. Let me give you some things this morning. What the question is, what are you giving to God? Three things this morning. I'll move really quickly. First of all, this morning, how about your salvation? This morning, God just won't take anything for your salvation. The Bible, we know the verse, John chapter 6, verse 14, or 14, 6. It says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only key, the only door to salvation. Well, preacher, I've been listening to this guy over here, and he says, as long as I do good. How good is good? How much is enough? God will not accept your sacrifices for salvation, because Hebrews chapter 10 says that he was the only sacrifice that could pay our price. So this morning, what are you offering for sacrifice? Look at Acts chapter 4 this morning real quickly. What are you giving? God is not a goodwill department. He don't want our junk. He don't want our second best. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. Now, that's pretty plain, isn't it? Well, preacher, I got to have me this new Bible. I don't understand this old King James stuff. I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree, and I might not be the sharpest pencil, but that's pretty plain. It says, neither there is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation. People today are tried every which way. People today, they're not stupid on the fact that they understand that they need something to get them to another place. But they're so arrogant and so ignorant to the fact that there's only one way, and we're trying to offer all these things to God. God says, I'm not taking that. There's only one payment for our sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Either you're saved or you're not. So this morning, what are you giving? How about our salvation? Here's a good one. What about our worship? We're here to worship. No, you're not. Worship isn't just Sunday morning. Worship is an everyday outing of what's inside of you. Worship is something every day you're walking in the Spirit. But what about our worship? What are we doing for God? The Bible tells us, I don't have time to go there, but Romans chapter 8, John chapter 4, verse 24, it talks about how we've got to worship in spirit and in truth. There's only one type of worship that God will accept. You can get up here and sing the best. You can hit every note. You can play the instruments to your best ability. You can hit every note at the right time. You can do all those things, and those are great. But if you're doing them in, out of the wrong attitude and the wrong heart, God says, I don't want that. That's what he says. You can get mad at me. I don't know. I'm just saying this morning, God will not take our junk. What about our worship? We know over there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 through 23, many in that time will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Lord, did we not cast out? Lord, didn't we do all these things? See what the key of that is look what we did. It's not about what you do. It's not. You can have perfect attendance on your buttons till you die and be lost and on your way to hell. You can have be saved and have perfect attendance on your buttons down to your knee and have the wrong attitude, and all that's going to be at the judgment seat will be fire. See, God this morning, he there's certain things he accepts, and there's a lot that he don't. There's only one thing he'll accept for salvation, and that's trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. This morning, what about your worship? There's only one way God will accept our worship, and that's in spirit and in truth. Remember over in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, that verse we just read not long ago? All those things that they were doing, those feast days, all those things, he says, I hate it. I despise it. So this morning, what about our worship? And then last of all, this morning, I'm done. Take your Bibles over to Revelation chapter 3. I'm just asking you to take account. Let God examine you this morning. Look in Romans chapter 3, look in verse number 14. How about your salvation? How about our worship? And last of all this morning, how about your devotion? How about your devotion this morning? Jesus looked into the eyes of Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was just like you and I. Oh, yes, Lord, I love you. And there's no doubt in my mind this morning that if I went around the room and I said, Tony, do you love the Lord? He'd say, yeah, I love the Lord. And I'm not saying he don't. We know the terminology. We know that that's what we think we ought to say, and that's what we ought to say. So, yeah, I love you, Lord. But see, the Lord looked at Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. And then what did Jesus look? Peter says, feed my lambs. He says, if talk's cheap, do something. How about your devotion this morning? See, God will accept some things, but there's a lot of things he don't. Look here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 says, and to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful, the true, the witness, the beginning and the creation of God. I know thy works. That's scary. That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Why? Because God says, I just don't accept anything. God said, I'd rather you be cold or I'd rather you be hot. But because your devotion is lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. What a picture. What about our devotion this morning? God doesn't accept lukewarm. He's basically saying, get in or get out. And I know, oh, preacher, that's terrible. We ought to try to build a big church. And I like people. I really do. And you can't get help somewhere else. You need to be in church. And I know that. But God's saying, get in. He don't want you out. He wants you in. And this morning, would you let God examine us this morning? This morning, when it comes to our salvation, what does God say? God says, if you're not trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. It's not that you've been baptized. It's not that you made a sacrament. It's not none of those things. It's if you've truly trusted the Lord as your Savior, as the faith of a little child. Our worship. Listen, I like in churches that hoop and holler. I like hooping and holler from time to time myself. But just because the church hoops and hollers don't mean this, they're doing it for the Lord. Hey, I'm not ignorant. I like to watch people. I pay attention. When I was a lot younger, I was in Bible college, man, I was going to every meeting I could go to. I got to noticing something, Brother David. I watched some of these young guys that I went to Bible college with. They just shout and hoop and holler. And I'd catch them turn around to see who was watching them. I say, boy, something just ain't right with that. We want to please men. We want to think, you know, boy, look at him. Boy, he must be right with God. By what standard? It's not for me to judge if you're right with God. Just because you shout or do this or do that, it's not about what we do and don't that makes us right with God. It's the intent of our heart. Hey, when God wants you to shout, hey, I like shouting. Sometimes I get a good case and can't help it. Hey, sometimes I just cry. God's squeezing on my heart. Sometimes I laugh. But I'm saying this morning, God says, I'll accept this, but I ain't accepting that. And I believe this morning we ought to let the Lord just examine us this morning. What about our salvation? This morning, if you're saved, hallelujah, stand on that rock and be bold in your witness. And if you're not saved this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, you ought to check up. This morning, church, our worship. Let's not just build a building, not building a group of people, but let's truly learn to love the Lord, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, daily walking and talking and ministering in the things of God. And then our devotion. God says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. There's not a soul in here, and I'll raise my hand first this morning that I'm doing everything I could. Again, it's not about how much you do and you don't do. It's about just doing what God wants you to do. But our devotion, are we really devoted? Is our heart's intent on pleasing the Lord? It ought to be. So this morning, Luke chapter 2, the angel said, glory to God, goodwill toward men. We get all of God's goodness. God is working. God is, preacher, don't seem like it. Trust me, God's working. But this morning, we should give glory to God, not goodwill. I have nothing to offer God. Nothing. Just me. And it amazes me that He even want me. But God says, I'll take you. And buddy, He moved into my heart and He's living with inside of me and He's working and doing things in my life. It just simply amazed me. Why? Because that's who God is. So this morning, He accepted Abel's, but He rejected Cain's. This morning, God just won't take anything. He's not a goodwill department. Let's stand together this morning.